month of January, I did some experimentation with LinkedIn. So get ready. Hey, what's up, financial advisors? It's your girl, Sarah, and welcome back to my show. On this podcast, we discuss financial advisor lead generation and marketing topics. I am a CFA charterholder, and I used to be a financial advisor, and I am a badass and the best, and I'm better than the rest, so forget about them. Hallelujah. Amen. Financial advisors, don't hide, just smash that subscribe, and let's ride. The first thing is interactive postings. What I learned from my experiment is that when you sit there and you say, how can I get as many people to respond to this posting as possible? How can I get as many people as humanly possible, like every single person in my network, to be unable to resist responding to this posting? Then some pretty interesting things happen, because it puts you much more in the mindset of, how do I make this inclusive? How do I really tap into the psychology of what others are thinking? And these are the types of posts that do great. So I remember in one posting, I asked people, should financial advisors use emojis? That did great. Another one was, I asked, should financial advisors wear a suit on a Zoom call? These are all things that have run through people's minds, and things that, these are subjects that people really enjoy debating about, and they got great results. Now, not every financial advisor, but a lot of financial advisors felt like they needed to weigh in on this. It was awesome. So the first thing is, ask great questions that are the kinds of things that run through people's mind, but they never really sit down and or maybe they have sat down and come to a conclusion about it, but it's been something that they may be curious about or want to know what others think about it. Ask great questions. And don't just think of one question when you're doing this, but think of 10 questions. When you sit down to make your social media posting, make a whole list of questions and then pick one that is the best one. And you may even want to run it by somebody in your target audience to ask them, and ask them, is this something that you would respond to if it were in a social media posting? That's the amount of effort it really takes if you want to make an awesome viral. Sorry, I didn't mean to say viral. You actually don't need to be viral in order to have a good result. I generally, on my postings, I have 10,000 people following me. And if I get 1,000 to respond, I'm probably hearing from some new people. Because in order for my posts to get up to that point where there's 1,000 views on it, that probably means 10 or more people are commenting. When people are commenting on your posting, then their network is seeing what they said. And if it's a cool comment that they're making, then that is helping to market your posting to that person's network. It's really a beautiful thing when other people can do marketing for you, when other people can market your stuff on LinkedIn, but you have to take the first step and make it something that's really fun and that they really enjoy thinking about. And most of all, that they learn something from. I mean, anything that's promotional is probably not going to fit any of those criteria. So think about how to make the posting as interactive as possible. You don't need to get up on your soapbox and tell them the whole story. Just tell as much of it as you need to for them to be able to respond. And you'll see that this really can work out well. Now, let's understand a little bit about how the LinkedIn sales cycle works. Some people are really good at posting on LinkedIn. Some people are really good at messaging. I think a LinkedIn strategy is not complete just doing postings or just doing messaging. And here's the reason. If somebody is directly in the market for your services, then Messenger will work really well, or if they don't mind being approached by somebody. But the truth of the matter is that not everybody prefers to be marketed to this way. Other people like to, they go for the nurturing. They want to consume content themselves. They want to follow you. Maybe they've been through a bad experience. Maybe they're just tired of financial advisors approaching them. There's no real guarantee that when you approach somebody on LinkedIn Messenger that they're going to want to talk. Now, in my book, 47 Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages, I talk about strategies that you can use. If you haven't gone ahead and read the book, please, the link is in the blog attached to this podcast. Please go ahead and check it out. But understand that a lot of times when you reach success in developing a relationship on LinkedIn, it's not usually because of just LinkedIn Messenger. And it's not usually just because of your postings. Because if you're just making great postings and attracting people to you and they're following you, there still does have to come the point when they raise their hand and say, I'd like to learn more. I'd like to have a meeting. Wow, you said that. I have some questions. And without LinkedIn Messenger, they're probably not going to do that. A lot of times you are going to have to be the one to initiate the conversation, despite them being an intrigued follower. So the cycle goes something like, maybe you reach out first on LinkedIn Messenger. Maybe you reach out cold. They connect back. You exchange a few messages. They're seeing your cool postings. They're participating in your postings. Now they feel a little bit closer to you. They've commented on some stuff you did. They've shared some stuff you did. They're digging you, right? You do a little bit more messaging. This is the formula for how people build, this is the formula for how you build relationships on LinkedIn. Let's say it goes the other way. Let's say that they maybe saw a cool posting that you did. They ask you to connect, or you see that they commented on it or that they liked a posting that you did. So you ask them to connect. Now here you are, you're connected. The relationship could advance just by them continuing to watch your postings. But that's where LinkedIn Messenger comes in, where now you talk to them, exchange a few words over LinkedIn Messenger. They like to see your postings. They see more cool postings of yours. You message a little bit more, message, post, message, post, message, post, message, post, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until it comes to the point where they're too curious to hold back any longer and they just have to have a meeting with you. Or maybe you say something in a post that makes them sufficiently confident that you have an answer that they need, or maybe you just say the message at the right time, something like that, all right? That is generally how the LinkedIn sales cycle works. And anyone that tells you differently is probably trying to promote one of these supposedly, you know, quicker results type services, which would involve automated messaging at a high volume. I will tell you that I am not a fan of the high volume approach. These are affluent people that you're talking to here. These are successful people, and the whole world is approaching them on LinkedIn, unfortunately, and they are doing a pretty lousy job at it. So by the time you get to that prospect, they've already had probably five financial advisors within the month approach them about seemingly the same thing. You have to set yourself apart, and I'm going to talk about how you can do that using LinkedIn Messenger. Now, I'm going to just give you some high-level strategies here, and I'm not going to actually get into the messages because those are reserved for the people who are on my membership and also the people who are the buyers and the readers of my book, 47 Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages, and I have to stay true to them. But I am going to talk about the results of my January experiment using LinkedIn Messenger. Now, what I noticed in my experiment was I began the messaging sequence 100% sending a message about them and not me. Because I had all these really great postings in January, I was getting a lot of activity. I was getting a lot of people that reached out to me and said, I'd like to connect. And I also was getting a lot of comments and a lot of likes on my posting, in which case I often would ask the person if they would like to connect. So I had a lot of first conversations with people in January, and I began just really taking it to an extreme. And I talk about this in my book, 47 Financial Advisor Messages. I talk about the theory behind this, but basically it's summed up by three simple words: them, not you, them, not you, them, not you. The first message especially has to be about them. It is almost 100% of the time that when somebody asks you to connect and they are a vendor, the first message is usually some kind of a solicitation, and people absolutely hate that. You really can't come across as every other financial advisor. You've got to set yourself apart in the beginning in the first message. And I will tell you that when the first message goes poorly, it is usually pretty hard to come back from that. You are probably going to get ghosted. So don't blow it. There are three parts to a LinkedIn conversation. I'm going to discuss each of them. The first part of the conversation is absolutely where you should be putting 100% of your focus. And that's what I did in January, and it worked out great. So here's what I did. I took When they connected with me, I went to their LinkedIn page and I just looked for intriguing details. They were, and I have to say, I was so, I was having such a good time. I mean, I really was having such a good time because I was meeting all these cool people and I could find out so much about them. There were people, I was reading their pages, you know, they were talking about what sports teams they liked, or that they had four kids or five kids, or that they were involved with different charities. One person had a side business in real estate, or that there were great quotes that they liked, or that sometimes they had had a business in a past job before they became a financial advisor. And I asked them about that. And I just found that in some cases, the person was taken aback that I actually read their profile page. I have to say, I was honestly intrigued. I thought it was so cool that somebody had had a business that was successful enough that he sold it. And that's interesting to me when someone can be a serial entrepreneur. I'd love to learn what that person learned along the way. It's interesting. I want to know their story. And I just kept doing that over and over again. The results were less ghosting, more apparent trust. People seem to be more genuine with me in their conversations. People just seemed to be more excited about me. And then I noticed that the next time that I would post, they would comment on my next postings. So what I'm trying to impart to you here is to summarize, begin the message with a focus on them, not you. Them, not you. Them, not you. If you have to, go to the person's website if they're a business owner. If they work at a company, I'm assuming most people that you're talking to are probably not retired. Go to their company's website and just read about it, all right? You'd really be surprised at the kinds of things that people will put out there on their LinkedIn page. Be the rare person that actually reads it. The middle of the conversation. Now, the middle of the conversation, after you make that initial connection and you get the good vibe going, the middle of the conversation is usually the hardest to overcome or the hardest to get through. And this is where most LinkedIn message sequences actually fail. Now, if you begin the sequence correctly, I'm going to tell you that you're going to have a lot more success getting through the middle part or the transition. The easiest way to make a transition in a LinkedIn messaging conversation is to let the prospect lead through the transition. And what do I mean by that? This is the point where your questions are absolutely critical. So here you are in the sequence. You've connected. They noticed you, or you noticed them. You've connected. You've begun the conversation productively. You've broken the ice, so to speak. You've exchanged some words. They seem excited about you somewhat. Now you pause a little bit between the beginning and the middle of the conversation. Unless they're really going strong into the middle, you may want to pause a few days so that they can maybe see some more postings of yours. You don't want to just hang out messaging them all day. You want to actually have it become a productive relationship where you can help them. In order to do this, you have to uncover the information that you need to know in order to determine why and how you can help them. So this is what I mean, where there's no slick pitch. There's no slick transition line. You're going to have to do the hard work and come up with a really great question. For example, you're talking to a business owner and you, so far you've just been talking with them about the business, or you noticed that they made a charitable donation of some sort. You commented on their post, they asked you to connect, or you asked them to connect, then you're talking about the charity that they're involved with. You've got to somehow relate that. You've got to somehow segue by asking a great question. So the first sentence, this is again my two sentence rule. The first sentence should be something about the past conversation that you've had. Here's an example of a transition sequence. Sir or ma'am, I'm still sitting here amazed that you were able to raise $20,000 for this charity in 3 weeks through your company. Is charitable donation just something that you do on a company level, or are you involved with charitable gifting personally as well? So what you're doing is in the first sentence, you're making a statement and you're connecting it to the past conversation that you had on LinkedIn Messenger. And then with the second sentence, you're asking them a question. The second sentence is a question. Review my two sentence rule, by the way. I'm going to link it in the blog attached to this podcast. But the second sentence is really important because that's where you're going to make the critical transition. But it has to be a question because you're taking it away from this business conversation that you're having on LinkedIn and you're taking more into the personal realm. You're going to ask them a question about them personally. But you're doing it in a way that embraces the past conversation that you've had. So it's not soul jolted. It's not like, oh, I see that you donated $20,000 on behalf of your company. How about we talk about a grat? No, that's completely stilted. That's jolting. Okay. You want to transition it into, again, a conversation that they can feel comfortable having because it's about them. So this is where you really have to do your homework. I always will advocate for quality instead of quantity. This is not easy to do. It does take a good high degree of skill. And if you do this 5 times a week skillfully, I'd rather have you do that than be throwing out garbage and making pitches at the wrong time before the person is ready. And that's exactly what happens a lot on LinkedIn Messenger, is that people are making these pitches before the person is ready. So it's kind of like you're throwing the ball and the batter doesn't even have the bat in their hand. Okay. Now, so let's say you're transitioning and it looks like they're ready to hear the pitch. All right. So here's where you're going to end the LinkedIn conversation. It may be ending in a meeting. It may be ending with adding them to your newsletter list, inviting them to a webinar, having them read a blog, whatever it is, it should end with some kind of an action. Now that assumes that the transition went well. Again, transition is the hardest part of the LinkedIn message. You may get stuck there. You may not be able to move the person. Don't rush them. If you have this really strong need to get 1 million new clients, then you need to get more people on that list of people that you're talking to, but there's no reason for you to push somebody into the end of the sequence before the transition is done. An improper transition is the reason that a lot of these messages fail. Like I said, no one spends enough time on the transition normally. And if you want to end it well, you've really got to transition well. Let's say the business owner says, you know, I have done some charitable donations in the past, but I don't know if I'm going to get to this year. I haven't really planned it out. But you happen to have a blog about this, let's pretend, right? So now you would love to send them a blog. And then I usually tee it up with, I just wrote an article about this. Would it be okay if I sent it over? I've found that that works a lot better because it draws them in a little bit. It creates a little bit of suspense. And it also gets their permission instead of you kind of hawking things just at them. I'm going to tell you a way that you can end it. And when you end it, you want to end it with a bang. When you are having a conversation with somebody on LinkedIn Messenger, always leave first. And you want to leave in a certain way. You want to leave unexpectedly. And there are actually pretty deep psychological reasons behind this. And I, again, found this out by all of my experimentation in January. Once I got to this point, or the end of the conversation, where we had completed a meaningful exchange and it was obvious that the person wanted or was open to me sending them a blog. Normally it was sending them a blog because, as you all know, I'm a podcaster and a blogger. Once I had completed this meaningful exchange, I immediately ended the conversation. It wasn't like I dragged it on and on after I sent them the blog. I'm going to give you an example. I would go, hey, here's my link. Have a great evening. Or I would say, here's the link and I have got to run. Smiley face emoji, right? And I noticed that most of the time the person responded back and was like, you too. And again, really enthusiastic. When I went to message them again, they were way happier to hear from me. And even before I went to message them again, I noticed that they would frequently be commenting on my postings. And I do think the way that I ended the conversation had a lot to do with that. And so what I did here was I did what I would call a pattern interrupt, okay? I introduced an element of surprise because I left the conversation suddenly. Now, people really expect you to drag it out Okay. And this is where people oversell themselves a lot. And they talk themselves, I think, out of a lot of opportunities. Understand this. There's a psychological benefit to leaving things incomplete. You don't have to clench down. You can let it go a little bit. You want to let go in the end of the conversation. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a psychological principle called the Zeigarnik effect. And it states that when a task becomes suddenly interrupted, it becomes more heavily ingrained in your memory. This is very intriguing. Let me tell you a little bit more about it. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head where you can't remember all the words, but you just keep repeating it over and over again, and it's like you can't move on? For example, what if I said, I'm tearing up my, and you'd go, heart when I'm with you. Like, you want to complete the song, right? You want to know what the words are. Here are some more examples. May the force be with you. Your mind wants to say it, right? There's no place like home. Elementary, my dear Watson. When we have an unfinished task, we remember it better. So here's the origin of the Zeigarnik effect. Bluma Zeigarnik is a psychologist. And in the 1920s, she was at this restaurant and she noticed that the waiter was able to keep track of orders without writing them down. He just knew everything from memory. But once the orders were complete, when asked questions about them, he couldn't remember it. Or I think it was something like that she left the restaurant and came back and he had like no idea who she was. The idea of it is that the mind wants completion. And when you leave off something unfinished, it allows the person's mind to naturally want to dwell on it until it's complete. That the person can't move on until the task is done and over with. This has actually worked so well that I've made this a rule for people in my membership to follow when they're using LinkedIn messaging. For example, when you're messaging somebody, you may want to say something like, there are two blogs on this. Here's one, and I'll send you the other one after my meeting, or I'll send you the other one in a little bit. I actually did this once in a meeting without even knowing it. And for me, there was this one time when I was in the meeting, and towards the end of it, I looked at the clock and I somehow had lost track of time and I had to go pick up my kid from school. And so in the middle of this like sentence, I just went like this. I went, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, everybody, I have to end the meeting now. I'll email you all later. And I noticed that after the meeting got done, I had so many messages from people and they were like, hey, you know, good that you can pick up your kid on time, or something like, hey, did you get there on time? So you could say something like, oh, you know, when they ask for the blog, or when they get ready to give you, when they get ready for you to give them the blog, or when they, whatever, like want to schedule a meeting or whatever, you may want to try to say something like, okay, I'll come back to you on this later. I've got to go feed the mice. Or you send them the link and you go, okay, great. That's all now, to be continued, dot, dot, dot. Or you say, okay, here's the link to schedule the meeting. I'll come back and confirm with you later. But from now I'm going to go feed the chickens, whatever. So having said that, I'm now going to end the podcast abruptly. If you'd like to join my membership, it's on my website, and I'm going to include the link in this blog. And you also may want to check out my book, 47 Financial Advisor LinkedIn Messages. That's all for now. To be continued later.